Okay. So we are going to we're going to go through the big book, and it was so cute. Where's Nikki? Where's Nikki? The little girl. She's so cute. Is she not cute? This is her first OA meeting. And she's 20. Don't you remember, like, being 20? Isn't that so cute? She's like, isn't that cute? No, no, she's so cute. No, she's so cute. She's like, oh, will you sponsor me? I'm like, you so don't need me as a sponsor. You so don't need me as a sponsor. And I said, no, I said, everybody here would want to sponsor you. And she said, why? I said, because you're cute, and you're young, and you're open, and you're vulnerable, and you're willing. And, you know, I said, trust me. I said, you don't need me. I said, you know, I want the sponsee that nobody else wants. I always say that to people. I do. I want a sponsee that nobody else wants, right? I really do. But anyway, you're so cute. So she took my number. We're going to be abstinence sisters and support each other. So I so look forward to that. But you're so cute. She's like, oh, she's so cute. Will you sponsor me? I'm like, oh, that's so cute. No. No. But there's, you know, 19 other women who will. So, all right, so we're going to go through the steps in the big book. Okay, so the first thing I have somebody do, right, is we read that Working with Others chapter. It's chapter 7. And again, I always tell them, I say, pay attention to two things. The paragraph at the top of page 96, right? Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover. Cover by himself. To spend, we're on page 96. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. So again, I say make sure that you get that, because that just lets you know you got to give me the work, right? You got to give me the work. And you know, again, I work with chronic slippers, but I have 100% success rate. And my 100% success rate is, I'm still sober, I'm still abstinent, right? Right? It is, right? I don't sponsor people to get them abstinent or keep them abstinent. I sponsor people to keep me abstinent, right? That's how it works. So, and then I say, let's look at page 100. There's a paragraph at the top there. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands, taking a third step, were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world no matter what your present circumstances. Do you see how just about every line in this book is a promise? Right? Don't kid yourself. People say like, oh, the 9-step promises. I'm like, oh, there's promises everywhere in the book, right? That's pretty powerful. But that's, I'm having them get back to let them know why we're doing daily contact. So you're going to be talking to me 5 days a week, and then there'll be a floating call on weekends, right? So it's just you call in any time before 12 noon, and you'll have done your work, and, you know, you'll have had the email contact and stuff with me. But that's just letting them know. Okay, so then we're going to get to the step one portion of the book, which is the doctor's opinion, because I never deal with the preface and the foreword and stuff like that. I just am not going to have that conversation with somebody who's detoxing from sugar. No thanks. So we'll start with the doctor's, you know, it's the doctor's opinion through chapters 1, 2, and 3. Those are the step 1 portions of the big book. And they'll read a chapter a day, right? So it's going to take us 4 days to get through step 1, and then they're going to write for 15 minutes. And you know, once in a while, once in a great while, somebody will say, well, you know, I don't have time to read. I'm sorry, I don't have time to read a chapter. And I say, you know what, I so understand. I really understand. Then I think I'm not the sponsor for you. I mean, I literally had one woman. She said, "Well, you know, I don't know that I have time to read a chapter." She said, "You know, I have. I mean, she had a bunch of dogs. She had a lot of dogs. It seemed. I mean, it was just an ungodly amount of dogs. I think she said she had like 11 dogs, right? And a husband and a job and stuff. And I just remember thinking, God, 11 dogs. Is that legal? I mean, isn't there like a licensing thing? Is that good for anybody? Is that good for you? Is it good for the dogs? I mean, is it good for anybody? Right? And she just didn't have time. And it's fine, right? Nobody's doing it wrong. Nobody's doing it wrong. But she didn't get the connection between not being able to make herself a priority in her own life and why her life wasn't working. That's all. That's all. Right? So, at any rate, you know, so because you're going to read a chapter a day for, you know, the first 4 days, because that's how it breaks down in the book. So it's, you know, the doctor's opinion, and the doctor's opinion is wonderful because it answers that question, you know, the two questions we have as a chronic slipper. Why can't I? Because it used to work. That's why chronic slippers, they keep trying to make it work, because it used to work, right? And doctor's opinion will answer those two questions I have. Why can't I eat the way I used to, and why can't I stop now that I want to? Right? Why can't I eat the way I used to, and why can't I stop now that I want to? And it's that allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And the allergy of the body is the one you really want to pay attention to. Because if you figure out you've got a Jones, anytime you eat that, you're going to create a problem, right? It's like my sister's allergic to cats. It's not like I can bring her into a house and say, like, oh, but this is a Siamese. Or this is a really pretty black cat. So you won't be allergic to this one. No, she's going to start snotting and snorting, right? Because she's allergic to cats. So if I've got a problem for me with sugar, sugarless chocolate isn't going to work for me. Agave isn't going to work for me. It's just a matter of time. And I'm really lucky because I did the sugarless stuff for a long time. It's just a matter of time. But I have no illusions about this. Had I kept that up, it's just a matter of time before I'm going back and I'm doing the real deal. Right? If I've surfed in Hawaii, it's not going to, you know, I'm not going to be settled for, right, Northern California surfing for long. Right? I'm going back for the real deal. Yeah? So, yeah. So, they'll read doctor's opinion. Then we read Bill's story. And Bill's story is wonderful because once I read the doctor's opinion and I read Bill's story, if I really believe both of those, so if I believe there's an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, and then I really believe that Bill told the truth when he wrote his story, I really believe that, I can only eat on a lie today. Right? And there are three lies. It's not going to bother me this time. Second lie, it'll bother me, but I can control it. Right? And the third lie is, well, I'm a loser. My life doesn't have any value anyway, so it doesn't matter what I do. I have no value in the world, so pass the mashed potatoes. Right? No. The first one is, it's not going to bother me. So the sugar's not going to bother me this time. You know, it's always bothered me before, but it's not going to bother me now. Second one, it's going to bother me, but I can stop at midnight, right? I'm going to brush and floss, then check my cell phone, make sure it's still the day before, and then, like Cinderella, right, it crosses to midnight, and all of a sudden there's been a transformation, right? Just don't forget, the shoe turned back into a carriage, right? So there's no magic that happens at midnight. There's just not. I have no value. I'm a loser, so who cares if I'm fat and unhappy? Right? So, and again, I just want to get clear. I want to stop lying. So, I can only eat on a lie. So, if I want to do it, I always tell chronic slippers, you don't have to stop for me. You don't have to stop for me. Just stop lying about it. That you will have to do. I'm not mean as a sponsor. I've had some, you know, sponsees say that in the beginning or whatever, and, you know, past sponsees or sponsees who let you go or whatever, they say, she's mean. She's mean. Meh. I'm not mean. I'm clear. Right? Not going to be mean to you. Not going to shame you. You ate the whatever again, and it's caused you a lot of problems. I'm not going to say you ate or you lied. Right? One of my sponsees showed up at my workshop last week, and I adore this woman. And she showed up and she told me I was just been lying about her food, and that's just, it's so heartbreaking. You know, it's just like, oh man, really? Shoot, I thought we were farther along than that. But I'm not going to say, like, oh, you lied to me and you're bad. That's bad. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to say, oh, you lied to me. That's unfortunate. That's hard. Makes it hard for me to trust you. It's difficult. It's really bad for our relationship. That I will do. I'm going to bring you the truth, right? Because that's my responsibility as a sponsor. So, okay, so then we read Bill's story, and then we go, right, and it's so fun in the big book, because then it's the next chapter, chapter 2, which is, again, the third chapter of step 1 portion of the big book, and it's a happy chapter, right? It's like, oh, but there's a solution! So you've gotten this, you know, basically horrible news from Silkworth and, you know, from Bill. It gets even worse, right? And don't you just remember when you were reading Bill's story and you just, I remember years ago when I was in the sugar and I was on a ski trip. Oh, it was so awful. I was just thinking about this because I told this story in the workshop last week and I hadn't thought about it in years. And somebody came up to, a friend of mine came to breakfast at my house this week, and he had been to the, I didn't know he came to the workshop. He's from AA, and he was like, oh, and I remember that that story you told, it's like, ooh, the humiliation. But I'll tell you the story. So I was on a ski trip. I was on a work trip. And I am not a great skier, so, you know, this work trip, they, you know, hired a ski instructor for me, and he was this really good-looking ski instructor, right, in Telluride, Colorado. Really, really good-looking. And I skied with him all day, right? It's just the best. And that night, I was binging. I was in the sugar. And so I ordered Snickers bars from room service, right? They had Snickers bars, right? They were like $5 candy bars, right? Order them, and I ordered six of them from room service. The room service comes to the door. I open the door. It's the ski instructor who's doubling as a waiter, and he's got a tray with one of those big silver things over it. He sets it down on the table and lifts the lid, and there's six Snickers bars on doilies. I wanted to die. Not as much as I wanted to eat, but I wanted to die. I couldn't believe it. And then it's like I couldn't get him out the door fast enough, because now I need to eat to get past that humiliation. And it just doesn't, you know what I mean? Just like, oh, the horror. And I remember calling, this is the segue on the story. I remember calling somebody from OA, and I was just horrified. I was like, you have got to walk me off the cliff, you know? And he said, read Bill's story. Yeah, and that was the first time, I'd read the book many times. I was directed in the beginning in Alcoholics Anonymous to read 2 pages a day in the big book, because then you'll get through the big book in about 9-10 months, right? Because it's, what, 576 pages. So I'd read Bill's story myriad times at that point, because I was, you know, 4 or 5 years sober. But that was the first time somebody had directed, and I just felt such comfort in it, right? Because you read the, you know, and you turn the page and you think, oh, surely this nitwit is going to stop now, right? And you turn the page again, he's like, no, you know, oh my God, he's stealing from his wife, oh my God. And I so got it. Like, I got it in that moment that I wasn't crazy. Right, I got it that I wasn't crazy, but I just will never forget that moment. The guy, and now, like, my friend's like, oh my God, I remember that ski story where the guy lifts the lid. I'm like, stop saying that, you know? What are you even doing coming to an OA workshop, you know? Christ. But anyway, okay, so there's a solution, and there's a solution is really kind of happy, joyous, and free. Like, it's like, yay, it's light, yay, good, we can, you know, right, there's a solution, we can get you out of it. Then the next chapter, more about alcoholism. So it's like, you know, remember the ABC, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, right? So you're like, oh, up and then down again. But they just really want to bring home the point in that fourth and final step one chapter that you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own, and it's going to get really, really, really bad. It's going to get really bad if you keep it up, right? So, and then the step two chapter is we agnostics, and also what would be included in step two if one is a purist, as I am, it would actually be through the A, B, and C that we read and how it works. Because the paragraph after the A, B, and C, right, that we're alcoholic, could not manage our own lives, that no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, God couldn't, would if he saw it, right? And it says being convinced, right, so being convinced of those propositions, being convinced of those, we were at step three. So if you really get it that you're an alcoholic, you can't manage your own life, that no human power could have managed your own life, and that God couldn't, would if he were sought, now you're at step three, right? And to get to that point, what it's clarifying is you're going to have to work all these steps. You're going to have to do all these things, right, to really keep that locked in. So that's all step two portion of the book. So then they'll read that, and people say, well, what do I write? And I say, just write about whatever you want. Just write about anything that comes up. If there's a line, if there's something, make sure that you always annotate, right? Underline, highlight, stuff like that. Make sure you're keeping track, because that's just a way for you to get stuff really planted. And then the step three portion of the book is from the middle of page 60 to the bottom of 63, right? And the paragraph at the top of 63 is my favorite paragraph in the big book. So it's, when we sincerely took such a position against the top of 63, when we sincerely took such a position, the antecedent is, in the paragraph before, it was talking about how God's the director, we're the actors just getting directed around by him, right? God's in charge, I'm not. That's the antecedent. So when we sincerely took such a position, I'm not in charge, God is, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. That's pretty powerful. That's a pretty good trade-off, right? All I have to do is just not be running the show anymore, and I get free of fear. Sign me up, okay? And then, from the bottom of 63 to the end of this chapter is the fourth step. And in the big book, people always talk about, oh, it's a four-column inventory. It's actually not. It's actually three, as it's written in the big book. But in the beginning in AA, right, people started kind of talking about what the magical part, which is really the fourth column. But if you look at the inventory on page 65, it's just got three columns. It's who I'm resentful at, the cause, and it affects my... But the fourth column is, and it's the most interesting part of a big book inventory, is my part. Now, they kind of are indicating what my part is with those little parentheses, but the deal is, it's everybody always talks about the magic of a four-column inventory. And that's the fourth column is your golden nugget. That's what I always tell sponsees. That's what you're going for. That's what you want to know. That's what's going to start moving you out of being a victim, right? And there are three components to a big book inventory. There's the resentment part, there's the fear part, where you just write down all your fears, and then there's the sex inventory. And you gotta like that the sex inventory in the big book starts on page 69. Yeah, it's fun. Anyway, whatever. Kinky, huh?
It was fear and sex. What was the first one?
Now, of course, this stuff is all in the book. But it's the resentments, it's fear, and then it's the sex inventory. So there's three parts to a big book inventory. We'll take questions at the end. I get too distracted otherwise. So write it down. So I don't give people a long time to do an inventory. A week, maybe. And that's long, actually. If you get a week, that's a good deal. But, because, you know, it can be a hellish process. And if one's driving through hell, does one really want to linger? Right? Stop and linger? I think not. Right? So let's just get this thing done quickly. Right? Let's just get it done quickly. And again, just knowing, really getting it, wrapping your head around the idea that it's wonderful to start seeing your part. Okay. So now we're going to kind of break this down a little bit from my experience, because one of the things it also tells us in the book is it says that we made our eight-step list when we took our inventory. So that lets me know that every name that's on my fourth step is going to end up on my eight-step list, regardless of who did what to whom, right? So let's look at my inventory from however many years ago this was. And again, I was probably molested, probably by the grocer. Let's just call him Joe, right? So my inventory went something like this. In the resentment part, I resent Joe. The reason, molested me, affects my security, self-esteem, sexuality, right? All the myriad things that affected my pride, right? Health, all that stuff. Now we get to the fourth column, which is my part. And how this has been handed down, and then how I end up having it on a worksheet, but it's looking at self-esteem. My part, selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking and frightened, and don't worry, I'll repeat it, and inconsiderate. Those are kind of the four things, and again, who knows where these came from? I don't know, I should really try and kind of research this. I don't know if this is something that came through in the grapevine or something like this. I mean, you got to remember, as powerful as this is, there, you know, the word sponsor is not in this book. Nowhere, right? In the first 164. I don't know if anybody ended up referencing it in any of their stories, but it's not in any of the first 164 pages. I know, isn't that wild? But anyway, so again, it's my part is selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking and frightened. Those are the third one. And then inconsiderate. Okay. So again, what I want to do, because I want to move out of being a victim, I want to see my part. Now, I'm not responsible for having been molested as a child. There's no responsibility in that. There's no, I didn't do anything wrong, wasn't a bad girl. Okay, can we all agree on that?
No.
Okay, so let's keep going then, right? So we can all agree on that, right? Nobody brought this on.
No.
But I want to see my part in that I am now not no longer a 10-year-old girl who got molested. Now I'm a 48-year-old, well, let's say I'm doing this now, I did this years ago, but I'm a 48-year-old woman out in the world, still pissed off because Joe molested me. How's that working? Right? So, I go to the fourth column, and is it selfish for me to resent Joe? It is to me. And here's how it is. And just about every person that I ever sponsor is an incest survivor. I don't know how that works, but it's just about, it usually goes that way. So I've had this conversation myriad times with many, many women, and it's a, you know, it's a gentle conversation, but it's definitely a deliberate conversation. But how it shows up for me as being selfish is because, though I've never molested anyone, haven't done that. What's that beeping sound?
It's a phone that's going to stop in just a second.
Okay, could you maybe turn it off? Just because, again, I'm easily distracted. But where was I?
Why is it selfish?
Yeah, thank you. So it's selfish for me because though I've never molested anybody, I've never done anything like that, I've hurt people. I've done hurtful things to people. I've got people I'm going to be accountable to. I'm sure I'm on myriad four steps. I'm probably on Sponsy's four steps. Probably. Right? I've done bad things to people.
Can it also be that you hurt yourself?
Maybe. Sure. Could be lots of things, sorry. Could be lots of things. But the gist of it is it selfish for me to be resenting somebody out in the world who did something hurtful? Well, yeah. I've done hurtful things to somebody. I'm thinking of one girl in particular when I was in elementary school. Right? I've done hurtful things. Okay? So it's selfish. So, and I want to get that. And that's not an attempt to shame. It's an attempt to really, you know, I'm a yoga practitioner, right? So one of the things you always talk about in yoga is kind of getting your, you know, your shoulders back and, you know, pulling them down. It's kind of like head up, shoulders down. So it's like, that's yoga, right? It's literally like both are true. It was horrible what Joe did, you nincompoop, right? And I want to be free, right? So both are true. So it's selfish for me to judge him. Is it dishonest? Well, yeah, it's dishonest. I just said Joe did something horrible to me. Well, I've done horrible things to people. Is it dishonest for me to be out there and be like, he did this to me and it was wrong? What about all the people I did wrong stuff to? Is it dishonest? Yeah. Is it self-seeking and frightened? Yeah, I still feel frightened by it. If it's still bothering me and it ended up on a four-step, I'm still frightened by it. And self-seeking is just another way of saying selfish, right? Is it inconsiderate? Inconsiderate is just, is it impolite? Is it bad manners? Is it bad manners to hold somebody bound when I've done bad things? And I don't want to be held bound? When I want to be free, but I want to hold you bound, is that bad manners? Yes. Tisk, tisk. Right? And that's how I get free. That's how you get free. And I'll tell you what, I have a sponsee. It's amazing. This woman, she's a sponsee in AA, young girl, and she's in an abusive relationship. I mean really abusive, you know, like really bad stuff. Guy drags her around by her hair and stuff. And, you know, she's lost. She just doesn't know it yet, right, around this guy. And when we did this, we did her four-step, and we started looking at her columns because, right, she did her four-step and you know, very, very reasonably, but it doesn't happen a lot, where she didn't see any of the fourth column part. She didn't have any part. So we started having a slow and gentle, right, loving, easy, graceful conversation, right, because we don't rush through this because this is a big deal. But this is that psychic change, right? Vital, Jung, Silkworth and Carl Jung called them two different things. One of them called them vital spiritual experience, and the other one called it psychic change. And both of them said, you have to have that before this is ever going to work. Okay, right. So Silkworth calls it a psychic change, He calls it a psychic change. That's what he was trying to you know, he's saying to Bill, you got to have that psychic change. And then later on in the book, Carl Jung, like page 36, I'm not sure. It's in the step one portion. Carl Jung is talking about trying to create this same experience for someone else and calling it a vital spiritual experience. And what it's described as is a total emotional rearranging, right? It's literally like you've been picked up and moved over here and set down and totally shaken up. That's what's happening, and that's what starts happening when you take a fourth step, right? So, and it says it many places in the book, but one place it says it, very clearly it says, you've got to are you willing to go to any lengths and completely have a drastic house cleaning or spiritual change or something? I know drastic is the adjective. And it's saying, like, you've got to have a drastic change here. If you really, really want to be transformed so that you can be recovered, like it talks about six times in the book, right? Not recovering alcoholics, recovered. And again, I don't get in that debate with anybody, right? But it's pretty clear about it. It says that if you do these things, you will be recovered. This is part of the process. Getting it, I don't want to be a victim. And both are true. It was horrible that Joe molested me. And I want to figure out the way that I get free and forgive Joe. Because it's not about Joe anymore. Joe's long gone. Joe's been dead for years. Right? Not about Joe. It has nothing to do with Joe anymore. It's me. I want to be free. Right? So I got to see my part. And again, I just bring out the molestation because that's kind of the big guns, right? Then it's all of a sudden like, do I have to see my part? You know, then it becomes easy to see my part with my bratty sister doing her thing. It's like, if I can get it behind Joe, the pedophile, and I can see my part, well, the rest is, you know, piece of cake, right? So that's what we do on a four step. And then just in terms of writing the fears, it's just really good. It's so wonderful to just get your fears all written down. That's a wonderful thing. And then looking at the sex part of the inventory, and what I always tell people, anybody you had sex with, including, and you will always be on your sex inventory, right? Yourself. But anybody you ever had sex with, if you made out with anybody, if you did anything with anybody's boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, whatever it is, right? Masturbated to, you know, Tom Cruise in Risky Business, you know, whatever it is, right? Put Tom on your four step. You know, I mean, just put any place you have a question, when in doubt, put him down, right? Just write the person's name down. And you're looking for the same thing. It's right, affects my, and what was my part, right? Right? And then we go on to the fifth step part of the book, right? Into action, right? So chapter 6, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? Okay, and we on page 75, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, you know what it says? We are delighted. Wow. People, you know, oh man, we can look the world in the eye, we can be alone at perfect peace and ease, our fears fall from us, we begin to feel the nearness of our... People say like, well, I did my fourth step, but I'm scared to do my fifth step, why should I do it? I say, read page 75, precious, right? We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, which is referenced 3 or 4 times in the book, the broad highway. You know, people say like the road gets narrower. No, it doesn't. Not if you're doing the work. Right? And we're not the chosen people. We're the choosing people. Everybody's chosen. Everybody's been invited to the party. Right? There's no, you don't get voted off the island. As my friend Joanne always says, nobody gets left behind. Here. And not just here. In the life game, newsflash, in the life game, nobody gets left behind, right? But you just don't hear. We feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And then it tells us, I haven't always done this when I've done a step 5, but the time that I did it, it's worked really well. Returning home again, I'm on page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully, so that's, you know, 59, 60s. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. For we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Okay? That's the value of step five. All right. And then 76, we have the two paragraphs at the top where they just do the little teeny tiny baby paragraphs for steps six and seven, right? And so... So when people do that for me, when we're doing step six and seven, is I will always say to people, right, because now people are raring to go and they're excited and it's like, oh, you know, I get it. I was a, you know, I'm a real shit and I get it. And I say, oh, great. Now we're at six and seven. So write down all your character defects and then you're going to write, you know, write the same number of assets, but go for it. And they say, really? I can just write everything down? I say, yes, go. And inevitably, I've never not had this happen. People will call me the next day, right, because everything is, you know, we're doing this a day at a time, right? We are not taking a long time with this. Remember, Bill worked what amounted to the first eight steps. I mean, we didn't have the 12 steps then, but he worked those first eight steps, what amounted to them, with Ebby sitting on his bed in Towns Hospital on his third trip there in December of 1934, right? Sitting on the edge of his bed. This does not take a long time. This is not brain surgery. There's somebody who does a workshop, and you know, again, find what you dig here and make it work for you. But there's somebody who does a workshop in L.A. and he talks about he wants to do a really, you know, he wants people to do such long four steps that it's going to take like a day and a half for somebody to read it to you. Not me. I did have a day and a half once where I was listening to somebody's fifth step. It was mind-numbing. I remember being in the middle of a fifth step with a sponsor once and she stopped me and she said, I can't, no. We're done. No. You're officially done. Right? It's over. You're done. And then I think she directed me. I hope she directed me. Would have been bad if she stopped me and then didn't direct me to then go on and kind of just write it succinctly. Right? Just do it like you're, you know, remember when you're taking an inventory. If I'm going into a drugstore and I'm inventorying, you know, how many Vaselines they've got on the shelf. I don't need to know the ingredients in the Vaseline. Right? I don't need to know how much glycerin is in the Vaseline. Or how much, whatever, right? I just need to count the number of them. So how they have it set up in the big book, it's just, I resent, this is why, it affects my, here's my part. Here's my part in this, right? Just keeping it very clear and simple. But again, find what works for you here. A lot of interpretations in terms of how this works. And they all work. And whenever anybody calls me and says, well, what should I do? I always just listen, because I get a lot of calls like that. And the first thing I say when they finish is I say, what does your sponsor say? Most times they say, well, I haven't talked to my sponsor. I say, talk to your sponsor. Find out what your sponsor says. Then call me. Or find out what your sponsor says. Here's my two cents. But in the end, find out what your sponsor says. And whatever your sponsor says trumps anything I say. Right? Just find out what your sponsor says. All right. And so now we are on steps 8 and 9, right? 8 and 9. Now we need more action. Again, middle of 76. Without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. Here we go. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. So some of the people on a four-step is I resent Tom because, you know, I got caught when I stole from him or whatever. And some of the people on my four-step are people I'm angry at because they did stuff to me. So we have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. So both are true. Both of those things are true. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Remember that, really? Maybe I am being selfish and dishonest here. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which is accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves, right? Being out of third step. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to empty lengths for victory over alcohol. Because I've had people say, well, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And I say, okay, look what it says here. I want to be free. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. Right? So now, it's like, how do we do that? Okay, so then you go back to that eight-step list. So then we look, and now it's time to make amends. Now, I would never say to anybody, first of all, I've never sponsored anybody, because the people I tend to sponsor tend to be older people. So if dealing with their, you know, the molesters, nobody's allowed. I had one sponsee, actually, whose person still was. But I never go say to anybody, okay, well, now you got to go to Joe Pedophile and tell Joe Pedophile that, you know, ask Joe Pedophile to forgive you because you've held a resentment against him. No way. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we need to get clean somehow. So I'm big on letter writing. I'm really big on letter writing. And it's funny, one of my sponsees, she had resisted the letter writing, and I just heard her sharing at a meeting this week, and she just said, you know, she'd written from, you know, her old sponsor had directed her to write this letter, and she never did, and she finally did, and how she got free. So, there are three components to a letter, and then again, this is nothing, because we don't get a lot of specific direction, because again, remember, this book initially came out in 1939. Program was only going for about 4 years. So Bill got sober in December of 34. He doesn't count the beginning of program until June 10th, 1935, when he hooked up with Dr. Bob, right, over Mother's Day weekend, and then this was the first day of Bob's permanent sobriety. It was June 10th, 35. So Bill got it that even though I was sober for 6 months, because I was alone, doesn't count. This works when it's two people, two or more, right, or gathered. So they'd only had about 4 years of experience, so we don't get a lot of concrete stuff about how exactly to do it. You know, we have Bill saying, you know, Bill really struggled with fidelity, right, in his marriage. I mean, when Bill Wilson died at his funeral, Lois was there, as was his mistress, right? Bill really struggled with that, and I love that. That makes me love Bill Wilson more, right? Just the humanity of the man, right? I don't put anybody on a pedestal here, but it's wonderful. I just celebrate the glorious humanity, right? But you know, the wonderful thing is when I get to this step and it's time for me to start dealing with these people, I want to get clean, so I've got to do something. So again, I'm big on letter writing. And there are three components to a letter. So again, we don't get a lot of specific experience here. Bill kind of couches it around the sexual stuff, you know, because again, he knew that that was kind of a struggle of his, right? So he's like, should we tell the wife? Well, not sure, right? I mean, it's just so cute. I mean, just the, you know, how he's protecting himself. But and it's fine. So we don't get a lot of direction. So this is something that's worked very well. So there are three components to a letter. And I tell people, keep them very, very simple. These are not long, you know, poetic letters, right? You do not need to wax poetic. But it's three components. Dear Joe, I forgive you for having molested me. Please, second part, please forgive, and it's this brief, please forgive me for not having forgiven you for molesting me. And then the third one, I say, bring up a nice memory about Joe. Because the problem is, when somebody's done something wonderful or something horrible to us, we tend to see them through that lens, and all of a sudden that's all they are. Joe, I remember, and I remember this about Joe, how he always used to save me shiny pennies in his grocery store. I would always show up and he would be like, here's a shiny penny. Right? I remember, Joe, how you always used to save me shiny pennies. You know, peace and love. Love, Sheila. I always act as if I will always sign love even if it's not there. Because I know that's the truth. And if it's not there, it's because something's in the way on my end. Because there is a merciful God, and that merciful God is, you know, loved me and forgiven me. And I get to worship any God I want to worship here. You know, people will talk about, you know, write a classified ad for your God, right? That also was another one that never worked for me. But I get to worship any God I want here, as long as I'm willing to emulate him or her, right? So if I want a God, which is the God I choose to believe in today, right? Non-dualistic, right? So it's one God, one source. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in evil. I don't believe in hell. Right? I had an aunt who was a nun, and one of the things she'd said to me is how everybody goes to heaven, but and everybody gets a cup. And some people, depending on how you behaved here, some people have really big cups, and some people, the stinkers, kind of have small cups. But it doesn't matter, because in heaven everybody's cup is full. And I love that. Right? I love that. And that really works for me. Right? So, and I get to have that God. I get to worship that God. But that means nobody gets judged in my world. That means Joe gets forgiven. Right? That means the person who's not turning left quickly enough in front of me. Right? Nobody's a bad guy. Nobody's a horrible driver. Isn't it funny? You know, when I'm not late, you're all driving fine. You are. Right? But when I'm late, it's like, go. It's the one on the right. Let's go. Right? Then I got to turn the corner. Then I got to drive and catch up and look over. Right? Right? Or I got to figure out, or when it's really a bad day, then I got to figure out, oh, they're this way. Oh, that's because that group, that's how they drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You're doing your thing, aren't you? Right? I don't get to live that way. And I will, you know, sometimes that stuff comes up and I catch myself, right? So I'll be like, go, go. And oh, wait a minute, sorry. You're doing just fine. I'm the one who's like, bless you, bless me, let's go. Be safe. I catch myself now. So I get to worship any God I want as long as I'm willing to emulate that God. And I choose a God that's all love. All love, all forgiveness, right? My minister for my church says, forgive everybody of everything all the time. That works for me, right? So, okay, so then that's what we're doing on the 8th and 9th step, right? And then we get to step 10. Okay, and this is what's so fun, because the 10th step, as it's described in the big book, is different than the 10th step that Bill describes in the 12 and 12. So the 10th step in the big book is on page 84. It's from 84 to the bottom of 85. And this thought brings us to step 10. So again, middle of 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Okay, now it's going to give me very specific direction, and it's telling me what a 10-step is. So in contrast to the 10-step as it's described in the big book, I mean in the 12 and 12, the 12 and 12 said a 10-step is what you take at night. In the big book, that's described as the 11th step. It says the 11th step is what we do at night, and we do the same, you know, we do it on awakening. But again, that's just the gloriousness of imperfection and how something can be so messy and still be wonderful, right? Still be perfect, right? It's like a kindergartner's picture. Nobody's lying to a kindergartner when they say it's perfect, right? But really, they're outside the lines. Are you sure? Yes, quite sure. So this is the perfection. But a 10th step in the big book says a 10th step is what we take throughout the course of the day. It's what we take when we're off, right? So anytime I get off the beam, that's a time for me to take a 10th step. And I was 22 years sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have 5 copies of this big book. They are well annotated, highlighted, underlined, right? Dog-eared pages, right? Well, well read, my big book. And at 22 years of sobriety, somebody pointed this out to me, and I'd never caught this one before, right? And it says, a 10-step is what we take throughout the day, and it gives me 4 steps that I am to take when something comes up. So this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And what I always tell my sponsees, don't limit yourself to those. Right? Anytime you're off, get back on. Because it's not just bumper sticker stuff when we say, you know, happy, joyous, and free, we're not a glum lot, right? Like it talks about in The Family Afterward, page 134. That's not 3 and 4. This is not just stuff that's in a book. This is not bumper sticker stuff. And if you don't have this stuff down, do not put 12-step bumper stickers on your car. No. If you're still somebody who's flipping people off, do not carry that message. Right? Remember, you might be the only big book that somebody might ever read, or program that somebody might read. That's the worst. I saw somebody flipping somebody off in a bumper, you know, with a 12-step bumper sticker. I wanted to ram them with my car, right? And I can do that because I don't have a bumper sticker on my car, right? Anyway, so, you know, I mean, just clean up, right? Just clean your stuff up. And again, that's just being honest. You know what? I am not at the place where I can have a 12-step bumper sticker on my car. Know that about yourself. And the truth is, I am now. I'm real clear. But because I've got, you know, because there's crazy stuff. I keep my crazy stuff in my head, right? But anyway, so anytime we get off the beat, it tells us, when these crop up, we ask God at once. So here are the 4 steps, and I'm going to give you a little acronym to remember it. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So here's the little acronym. God makes apples sweet. God makes apples sweet. G-M-A-C. So when I get myself off the beam, the first thing I'm supposed to do is ask God to remove it. And I'll tell you a little story about this. So I'm at first supposed to ask God to remove it, right? Man, God makes apple sweet, G-M-A-C. Man, I'm supposed to share it with another human being. So it's a little outreach call. It's D-D-D-D-D. Hey, Susie, it's Sheila making a quick outreach call. You got a minute? Yeah, sure. What's up? You know, I just need to do a quick 10 step. I have, I have some anger going up with Neil. Again, still won't put that napkin in his lap, right? And I just want to wring his neck. Anyway, just wanted to share that with somebody. Oh, great. Yeah, Sheila got it. Okay. Goodbye. Right? Now I shared it. God makes apple sweet. A. Amends. Well, if I shot my mouth off at my husband, and I probably did, about the napkin stuff, so I owe him an amends. Right? And then sweet. I'm to get into service. And I had a sponsor who said to me once, and 12-step service doesn't count. It's like, oh, really? Thanks. But that's what she said. So I'm kind of going with that one because it's kind of interesting. So it doesn't count. So here's the thing, right? So God makes apple sweets. That's how I get back on the beam. See, because again, this is not bumper sticker stuff. When it says we're happy, joyous, and free, we're supposed to feel that way, right? I don't want to be 25 years sober and still kicking the dog. I don't. I really don't. Or spitting. Or littering. No. That's not what I came here for. I came here to be free. Right? So, again, somebody pointed this out to me at 22 years. And so, it was a particular day, and, you know, again, I don't have a lot of bad health days, but I had a bad health day. So it was like a day after somebody told me about this, and I had a bad health day. I was on my way to the gym, and it was bad. I was in pain. And, I deal with chronic pain anyway, but this was a particularly bad day. And I thought, oh, you know, so I was having some real fears going on around health stuff, right? And I thought, oh, this is a drag. And, oh, this is really bad, and this is horrible, and oh, why me, and blah, 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 blah. And wait a minute. Okay, so this is probably that 10-step time like that woman told me about yesterday. Okay, what is the thing to you? Okay. So God, you know, and I was driving, I just parked my car again. I was on my way to a yoga class at the gym. I said, all right, God, will you please remove the fears that I have around health stuff, right? Please remove the fears. Okay, and then I called somebody on the phone, and it was like, you know, Mary, it's Sheila. You got a minute? Yeah, sure. You know, I'm just doing the 10-step thing, you know, the big book 10-step. And first of all, nobody does it, so people don't know about it. So, like, what? Page 84 thing. Check it out another time. Anyway, I just needed to tell somebody. You know, I have some health fears going on. She's like, oh, what's going on? I said, oh, you know, I actually don't need to get into it. Thanks. Thanks for your concern, but, you know, just wanted to share. I have some health fears, and I'm giving it up to God. Okay, goodbye, right? And then amends. Well, I hadn't had time to do anything mean to me, right? Hadn't done anything mean to me. And so I didn't need to make an amends to anybody. And then service. So I needed to do service. So I'm walking into the gym, so I start picking up trash, right? So by the time I get to the gym, right, get rid of the trash, wash my hands, go to my yoga class. Within about 5 minutes, and I mean, this was a huge fear because it was huge pain. Again, I deal with chronic pain anyway in this particularly bad day. Within 5 minutes, it was gone. I don't know if the pain was gone. Can't even remember. But the fear was gone. I mean, it was gone. Like, gone. And I got it then, that this really works. I got it, that this really works. I got two things. I got that it really works, and I got that when I'm in the fear, I'm not available anymore. I'm not available for you. Forget about, am I going to get into the food? I'm not available for you. You smile at me in class, I'm like, yeah, right, you would smile. You're not in pain, bitch, right? What do I know? First of all, what do I know is going on with anybody else? I don't know anything that's going on with anybody else, right? But that's what my head, that's the kind of conversation I start having when I'm running wild with this, right? That's why. That's why it's in here. Because they know how our thinker works, right? Isn't that cool? And it's like a little gem hidden in the book. You cannot know how many people just, you know, will come and go, what's that thing you said? And I said, well, I can give you the acronym, but read, it's page 84. Just check it out. Read it. It always amazes me the number of people who haven't read this book. I'm not even talking about the first 164, you know, that too. But I mean, people don't read the stories and stuff, but they haven't even read the 164 pages, right? This is our textbook. This is a textbook. You're not in college anymore. Remember in college, you go to college and not read the textbooks? Still get, you can't do that here. Well, you can, but you're only going to get, half of what you came for. Really? Because if you're not free, you haven't gotten what you came here for. You're not. You haven't gotten what you came here for. Right? It's not the most interesting transformation in my life is not losing weight. I always tell people that's the least interesting transformation that's happened in my life. I'm glad I'm not 200 pounds anymore. You know, I have back issues and stuff, and I don't do well. And I have a small frame. You can't always tell because I've got wide shoulders and I'm kind of tall. But I mean, my ring finger is like a 3.5 or a 4. I mean, so I have a small frame, so I don't do well carrying an extra 65 pounds. I don't. So, and I'm glad that I don't weigh 200 pounds, but it's the least interesting transformation that's happened to me, right? The least. I transformed within, and as within, so without. You transform on the inside, you do this work, can't help but show up on your body, right? So, all right, so that's step 10, and then 11, bottom of page 85, and then it goes to the end of the chapter of 88, and that's where it talks about that the 11th step is what we're doing at night, right? That's the examination we're doing at night. And it also talks about prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly, okay? And then it says we, you know, believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions when we retire at night. So this is what it's saying you do at night. Constructively review your day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? And blah, 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 blah. So whether you do that at night with your sponsor, whether you do it in an email, whether you do it, you know, however you do it, you know, whether you write it, you know, it doesn't say anywhere about it being a written, you know, written inventory. That's another thing people always want to crow about in program. And after our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And then on awakening, this is the thing I was talking about. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. So that's always kind of what people think about when they think about an 11th step. They think about prayer and meditation and on awakening. But again, in the big book, it's just saying take an examination at night. And I don't do this on a regular basis. I should. And I'm moving closer to it now because I keep hearing myself saying it. I'm going on the record saying it on recordings that I don't really do this. So I need to do this, and I'll start moving toward it. But it's a pretty powerful thing. You know, Emerson said, any life worth living is worth recording. So it's pretty powerful to kind of look back over your day and, you know, see what you got there. And then the on awakening, and I do this now. It's almost like saying the rosary. So I kind of have a little mantra. So I've gone through and I've highlighted all the places that are direct steps, you know. In thinking about our day, face indecision, ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought. You know, I know that intuition and inspiration will become a working part of my mind. The hunch or the occasional inspiration will become a working part of my mind. Again, I kind of just say this, I just run through it, and it's, you know, it's almost like a thing. I have to be careful now and kind of slow down and really start thinking about it, because the truth is, you know, the rosary is that much more beautiful if I'm really thinking about it when I'm saying it, rather than just blah, 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 blah. Same thing with this. If I really think about it. But I know I love the thing at the end where it says, you know, we let God discipline me in the way that I've just outlined. You know, faith without works is dead. And so I got to get into action, right? So that's step 11. And then we're back to chapter 7 again, the working with others chapter, right? So now the people are reading it again, because now they're reading it from the perspective, right? However you want to language it. In my mind, if you've done all the work, we are recovered. And now you're looking at what you have in store for you. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion, right? The magic buzzword, suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on... Okay, and this is a pretty powerful paragraph. Next one. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Not a bright spot, but the bright spot. And I can just tell you, for me, that's absolutely been true. And I was never anybody who was good about giving of me, because my heart was pretty closed down. Remember, struggled with love, struggled with forgiveness. I was pretty hard-hearted, right? And so I was good. I've always been good at giving my money. I've been tied in since I was 16 years old and babysitting, right? So I was good at giving them my money. But at meetings, like, you know, Joe needs a ride, I'm like, what? You mean he needs to get in my car? No. No. Where does he live? No. No, 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 no. I never wanted to do that. I never wanted to open my heart. And I never wanted to sponsor. Right? So when I had gotten, remember Diane, that sponsor I told you about? When I'd gotten, you know, I guess I'd done my 4-step, right? And so I'd given away my 4-step, and then she decided it was time for me to sponsor, and I didn't want to sponsor anybody. And she said, oh, you don't? And I said, no. But thanks for, you know, I really appreciate you taking my call every morning, right? But no, thanks. And she said, you have a week to find a sponsee, and if you don't, I will find one for you, and I'll find you a doozy. Right? I was like, wow. She said, yeah, wow. So I found Sponsee, and then I was directed that one wasn't enough, right? So I always tell people, you got to sponsor more than one person. Because while I love corn in a field as much as anyone else, if you sponsor one person, then they sponsor one person, because nobody you sponsor is ever going to sponsor more than you do. They just won't. Because we're selfish at our core, right? And I don't, that's not, you know, that's not a knife in the gut for me to say that. You know, naturally, I'm selfish, right? So, if I'm sponsoring one and they sponsor one, it's just a stalk that keeps growing like this. But if I sponsor two and they sponsor two, right, and then it grows exponentially and it becomes a bloom, right? So I always have at least two sponsors. And usually it's right around four. So that's where we end up then on step 12. And it's just been, it's a really powerful thing to take somebody through those steps. And then I actually should probably work it out, but just by this time, I move on. I start working, and then I lovingly let them go and say, go find another sponsor and see what somebody else has to say, right? Go through the steps with somebody else. Do the 12 and 12. Do the OA literature, right? Do something else. Do the non-12 step stuff, though I don't recommend it. But anyway, but whatever. Do your thing. But the truth is there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in those chapters afterwards, so I might find a way to, maybe I'll keep them around for another week and have them read those other chapters. But that's how it works in terms of the 12 steps as they're outlined in the book. So we have about 16-17 minutes for questions, because I do want to get you out of here on time. So anybody have any questions?
You said you were going to give your number.
Oh, yeah, sure. So my phone number is a Verizon cell phone. You can call this number anytime. It's off when it needs to be off. It's 310-413-1745, 310.
Whoa.
Hang on. Okay. Just relax. I always repeat my number twice. 310-413-1745. 310-413-1745. Okay? My email address, put something in the subject line if you're going to send me an email. It's sjenca, S-J-E-N-C-A, it's my last name, at ucla.edu. S-J-E-N-C-A at ucla.edu. Okay? And I'm just telling you right now, I'm not available for sponsorship. But call me and we'll chat. Okay? Call me and we'll chat. And I can help you figure out. I can help you figure out. And maybe I've got a sponsor or somebody that's available, so call me. But
is it Jenka, J-E-N-C-A?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. S-J-E-N-C-A at ucla.edu. Anybody else? Any questions? Yeah.
Is there ever a time...
Sorry, I'm sorry if I was sharp about that. I'm sorry. I'm just tired. I'm sorry. I think I was sharp and abrasive. I apologize. See, now, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that we get to do that? Like when we screwed up? And I grew up in a family where nobody admitted when they were wrong. I had a sister who until this year, it was a miracle this year, but my sister was angry at me for 25 years about something I did in high school. And it was like wearing her clothes in high school. Right? She was pissed off. I'm not kidding. Right? And I'd made, in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd made three attempts to try and make amends to her. Right? With money and clothing. Right? Three different attempts. And finally, on the third one, my sponsor said, that's it. You're clear. You are absolutely clear. Right? If somebody can't forgive you, it's not about you. They don't get it that they're, right? You've lost. You just don't know it yet. You're not giving somebody a gift when you forgive them. You're giving yourself a gift. Okay? So, my sister, you guys, can you, it's just a little distracting, if you don't mind. You're not giving them a gift when you forgive them. You're giving yourself a gift. And my sister can't give herself that gift, right? She can't admit, right? She can't do that. And my family, it's rampant in my family. In an alcoholic family, it's very common. People just can't take responsibility. Can't admit and say I'm wrong. And isn't that cool that I can just turn to somebody and say, I'm really sorry. I think it was just, my tone of voice was just abrasive. Forgive me. Forgive me. Sure, I understand that. And I'm sorry. And you know what I mean? And then, I get to be done with it. So if she leaves and she's in fear, that's on her. You know what I mean? That's her business then. She clears that up with her sponsor and on her outreach calls. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to leave here and be like, oh, I scared Suri. Oh. No, I'm clean. Right? You see what I'm saying? That's a miracle. That's what I came here for. You know, I went to my high school reunion, my 30-year high school reunion last summer, and I'd never gone to any of my high school reunions, right? Because I was the fat girl in high school. And until this reunion, I guess I wasn't anymore at the 25th one, but I didn't, you know, who knows? Maybe they didn't invite me. But I didn't, you know, I didn't go to my 25th. And up until then, I was still overweight, so I wasn't going to show up because I had no humility. And I still was confused and thought that my value had to do with how much I weighed, right? And it just doesn't. But I showed up at my high school reunion, was happy to be there. And again, people have kind of friended you on Facebook and stuff, so you can see like the homecoming king is fat now and, you know, all that stuff, right? Everything you can see on Facebook, right? And I showed up at the, and I'm not. And I got to, and the, you know, and high school boys can be really mean when you're the fat girl in high school and they say crappy stuff. And I got to show up and be the face of love. And I look pretty good too, right? But the cool thing was, I got to show up and I got to really be the face of love. I got to absolutely be the face of love. And I got to hug the guy who said the mean thing to me in high school. And asked to see, you know, it wasn't like talk to the hand, right? I mean, it was none of that nonsense. I got to hug him and ask for to see pictures of his kids and, you know, how are you doing and how do you like being a lawyer? You know, I mean, I got to just do all that stuff. That's a miracle. That's what I came here for, right? That's freedom, not being a size 6 or looking a certain way. Now, that wasn't what I thought when I came here, especially as a chronic slipper. You get really obsessed with, oh, it's about looking a certain way or wearing a bikini or, you know, any of that stuff. Yeah. You know, momentary. You know, I like dressing nice, and that's fun. But it's not, that's not what would keep me here. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool. Yeah.
I want to know, is there ever a time when it's acceptable not to send a letter?
Oh, people don't send, I'm sorry, I should have clarified, thank you for bringing that up, because I wish I would have said that in the other, people don't send these letters. You don't send these letters. No. Not especially like pedophile letters and stuff like that. And I have people write letters, especially if they have stuff to clean up with mothers. Like, women are just notorious for being angry at their mother, you know? And that's, you know, that's, oh boy, is that ever a tunnel with no cheese, right? But, no, most times, no, you're not sending letters. First of all, if somebody's alive and you need to make an amends, you're going to do it in person. And I know that because when I got to my 8th step, I moved to Europe. When I first was in Alcoholics Anonymous, I moved to Europe. And I thought, na-na-na-na-na-na. Right? Now I have to write letters. And my sponsor was like, okay, well, are you going to live here? I was like, no. She said, okay, well, you can do it when you get back, right? So, but no. So, no, you, especially to pedophiles and stuff like that. No, you don't send those letters. We're just doing that to get you clean and get you clear. Great question. Thank you for reminding me, because that's really important to get. No, you're never sending letters, especially to anybody who did something egregiously horrible to you, right? We just want you to be free. And I want to get that, and I'm a writer, and I know the power of getting something out of here and putting it on a piece of paper. So that's why we do that, rather than sitting and having a conversation about it, right? Just kind of reading it by rote. And they'll read these to me. And even if you don't believe it, even if you don't feel it at the time, right, you can start kind of getting it.
And letters to dead people?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what I did, one time, sorry, I had somebody write a letter, and she was making a commitment. She was a gang member, former gang member, and I remember she was making a commitment that she wasn't going to be violent anymore in the world. So she had kind of a general letter she wrote out, you know, please, you know, I forgive you, because she'd been, you know, had horrible atrocities in her own life, right, which set her on her path. You know, I forgive you, please forgive me for the atrocities I did, and, you know, the truth is it's a wonderful world. And then she made a commitment, she signed her name, and then she said, I will no longer be, you know, violent. Unless somebody strikes me first, I will no longer, you know, be violent in the world. And she actually sent it to me, and it's still in my God box. So I invited her to do that. If you want to do that, you know, she could send it to me. So yeah, no, very, very rarely, you know, literally, it's unless somebody lives in China and you live here, then maybe we do a letter, but then it would be a much more flowery letter, you know, where you're just really kind of saying something out loud. But yeah, no, the letters are about how, let me get my thinking transformed. Yep. Does that make sense? Know what I mean?
when you have your sponsor just write 15 minutes each day and then you talk to them the next day, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Reading to you what they wrote?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And so when they write after each resentment or whatever on their fourth step, do the fourth column, are they doing it one at a time or are they doing everything and then going back and doing the fourth column?
Yeah. Send me, if you want the four-step thing, send me a thing and I'll send you the four-step thing that I've got.
Right.
So it literally is, and of course when they do a fifth step, that's, we schedule a time for a fifth step and it's, just an hour or two. Yep. Yep. And they're just, yes. And the big thing when you do a four-step is, or at least on this, exercise with this thing, is it says you go down and you write all the names first, then you write all the things that they, so you wouldn't write like, I resent Joe, molested me, blah, 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 blah. It'd be like, I resent Joe, Tom, Mary, Bill. And I think the thing they're trying to bring home is, like, look how angry you are in the world. How is that working for you? How is that working? Right? Anybody else? Oh, you're a fine group. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.